So another year is coming quickly to an end. The holiday season is just about over. The many hours that we all spent preparing for Christmas has culminated in spending some quality time with family and friends. But now that's pretty much done. The gifts have been opened, the food has been devoured, the wrapping paper and boxes have been taken to the curb. And New Year's Day will soon be but a distant memory. The hectic pace of the holiday season can leave us longing for a break. It can also leave us with a sense of the blues, a sense of sadness. The tinsel and the glitter, the lights and the decoration, the smells and the sounds of Christmas, everything will soon be replaced with the sameness of life. Many people struggle with the post-holiday blahs. After the holidays are over, the question that remains is, well, now what? Have you ever wondered if Mary and Joseph felt some of these same things? The excitement of the Son of God being born that night, the visit of the shepherds, and soon the visit of the Magi from the east bringing gifts. But now what? Those things are done. In the past, fond memories for Mary and Joseph. Now they must set about the task of raising a family, making a living. The excitement of the moment is gone. Did they too struggle with the post-holiday blahs? But God didn't let them, did he? He didn't allow for the Holy Family to live a peaceful and quiet life in Bethlehem for very long. Things couldn't be peaceful and quiet, because the baby that they were raising was the very Son of God, the Savior of the world. Satan, knowing that this baby would be bad news for him, would try to circumvent God's plan. He would try to assassinate the Savior through King Herod. Mary and Joseph would be placed into God's witness protection program for a little while. Eventually, they would move back to their very small town up north after things settled down. But right then, there was no time for Mary and Joseph to get comfortable in Bethlehem. For you and me, as Christians living today in the 21st century, the events that we are looking at today in the gospel reading this morning have a great deal of significance. As we sit here at the end of the year, as all the holiday type things come to the close, we sometimes ask ourselves, now what? God answers that question this morning through his word. There is much ahead, much to think about, much to look forward to. And he shows us what those things are today as we focus on the early days in the life of our Savior. It was the middle of the night, and Joseph was sleeping when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Get up, take that child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. The wise men from the east had just visited Jesus. They had told King Herod that they were on their way to visit the one who was born King of the Jews. And this bothered Herod. He was the King of the Jews, or so he thought. He wondered if this newborn king or child would be a threat to his throne. The wise men didn't return like he thought they would, and this upset them. And soon, maybe even the next day, Herod would send his soldiers to Bethlehem to massacre all the boys under the age of 2. Get up, Joseph, the angel said. Get out of here as fast as you can. And so Joseph got up in the middle of the night, and he, Mary, and the baby Jesus made their way to Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. Satan's plan to kill Jesus was thwarted through God's intervention, but not without great cost. Many baby boys, 2 years old and younger, were killed in Herod's attempt to assassinate the baby Jesus. We remember them in the church year with a special feast day on December 28th, with the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and regard them as the first martyrs for Christ. But I want you to notice two things that happened here. First, Satan loses. The assassination attempt by Herod fails. Jesus is safe. And second, a prophecy is fulfilled from verse 15. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. When the prophet Hosea wrote that, he was referring to the nation of Israel, God's son, being called out of slavery of Egypt into the promised land. But here the Holy Spirit teaches us in Matthew that this is also applies to Jesus. Just as God called the nation of Israel out of Egypt, so also God called his son Jesus out of Egypt. So now what? Joseph, Jesus, and Mary are living with a group of Jews in Egypt, but not for very long. Herod dies, and an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph again and tells him that it's safe to return to the land of Israel. So Joseph, Jesus, and Mary return to Israel, but something is wrong. Herod's son, Archelaus, was in charge now, and he's just as bad as his father. So now what? Once again, Joseph was warned in a dream to leave the area. He moves north to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, and that's where they stay. Do you see the two things that happen here? Once again, Satan loses, the Messiah is safe, and prophecy is fulfilled. And so it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. The prophets of the Old Testament never wrote this prophecy down, but it was understood that the Messiah would be called a Nazarene, a despised person from a small town in the middle of nowhere. The devil went right to work after Jesus was born, but his plans didn't work. Instead, he loses, and prophecies are fulfilled. The devil is still at work today. And right after Christmas, it seems that he puts extra work in. He works extra hard, especially on Christians. He wants you to not only put your decorations away, but to put your joy away and your faith away. You can stop being religious now, the devil says. You can stop being joyful now. Christmas is over. It's time to get back to the regular things of life. The devil attacks us with these thoughts, and unfortunately, we sometimes listen. We can become downhearted. As the birth of Jesus Christ fades into the past, so does our happiness. Our desire to worship goes down with the lights. Our joy disappears with the wrapping paper. Maybe our joy and desire disappear because we've bought into the world's thinking more than we realize. Perhaps we believe the equation happiness equals material things more than we think. If lasting happiness could be found in having material things, in being able to indulge in whatever we wanted, then most of us in America should be delirious with joy and happy beyond description. All the time. Instead, we find high rates of suicide, depression, child abuse, and other personal and social problems beyond description, especially during the holidays. We find people and sometimes ourselves struggling to stay joyful because deep down inside we have been let down by the lies of the world, that happiness is found having all we want and being able to get even more. But it doesn't have to be that way. The Word of God for today teaches us two things. Satan loses, and prophecies are fulfilled. And this goes on even after Christmas is over. Throughout Jesus' life, Satan lost, and prophecies are fulfilled. Just think about what happened 30 years after these events, really the opposite of the story for today. Instead of Jesus fleeing from harm, Jesus would walk right into harm's way. Instead of fleeing from Herod and the Roman government, Jesus would allow himself to be executed by the Roman government Instead of God the Father protecting Jesus, God the Father would punish Jesus. Again, the opposite of the story for today. But even there, Satan loses, and prophecies are fulfilled. The prophecies that foretold that the Messiah would someday suffer and die to take away the sins of the world, all of our sins, even those moments when we buy into the lies of the devil, all of our sins have been washed away by Jesus on the cross. Satan loses, and prophecies are fulfilled. That's why Jesus was born. And that's what brings us joy and keeps our joy alive even after Christmas is over. These two small victories of Jesus, recorded in our verses for today, are just a taste of the big victory that Jesus would someday win for us at the cross and the empty tomb. And so now what? How do I respond to the grace of God? How do I say thank you? How do I glorify the God who has done all this for me? I can live my life like Joseph did. What was the pattern of Joseph's life? He listened and obeyed. The angel told him to go to Egypt, so he went to Egypt. Go to Israel, so he went to Israel. Watch out for Herod number two, so he moved to Nazareth. Joseph listened and obeyed. He wasn't a self-made man, Mr. Independence, I'll do my own kind of thing type of guy. He listened and he obeyed. That's how we responded to the grace of God. That's how we glorified God who had sent the Savior into his very own family. You and I can do that very same thing. Today, God reveals himself to us not in dreams, but through the written word. We can listen and obey. We can be modern-day Josephs, people who do not rely on themselves, but listen closely to the word of God and obey. Throughout our lives, Satan will continue to lose, and God will continue to keep all the promises he has made to us. That pattern will never change. And that, my friend, should be reason enough to give us joy no matter what day of the year it is. Amen?
Amen.
And now may God bless you with a joy and love for him today and every day, one that lasts long after the Christmas season is over. And to God be the glory. Amen.